4 years after his death, singer and songwriter Alex Chilton is enjoying a kind of popular acclaim that eluded him in life. Chilton did have brushes with fame in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. One of his songs became the theme of a hit TV show, and his band Big Star was hugely influential on a generation of younger rock musicians. Last year, a Big Star documentary played in theaters across the country. Now Chilton is the subject of a full-length biography, as NPR's Joel Rose reports.
The first song Alex Chilton ever recorded in the studio turned out to be the biggest hit of his career.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Chilton sounded like a veteran when he sang The Letter with a Memphis band called the Box Tops, but in fact, he was barely 16. He had just joined the group, as he told WHYY's Fresh Air in 1991.
After I'd been with them about a month, we went in the studio and recorded our first hit song. And so it was just something that was easy to fall into. It was sort of like Memphis was a hotbed of recording activity, Memphis, where I grew up.
The Letter was one of the biggest hits of 1967, and Chilton's worldly vocals fooled a lot of people, says Holly George Warren. She's the author of the new biography, A Man Called Destruction.
There's some funny stories about, you know, these little pimply teenagers showing up at a black radio station, and they thought he was a black dude, a 40-year-old black dude.
What they got instead was a skinny teenager from a comfortable middle-class family in Memphis. After he sang The Letter, Chilton dropped out of 10th grade and spent the rest of the 60s touring almost nonstop with the Box Tops. When the band dissolved in 1970, he reinvented himself as a singer, songwriter, and guitarist with a new group. Big Star began as a collaboration with Chris Bell, another young Memphis songwriter who shared Chilton's love of British invasion bands, especially the Beatles. The name was a joke, sort of. In a 1993 interview with journalist Park Pewterbaugh, Chilton said it was borrowed from the name of a regional grocery store chain.
Chris and I were like smoking a joint outside the studio and trying to think of the name, and he looked across the street and said, Big Star, and I said, that's it.
The band's cheekiness extended to the title of its first album, called Number One Record. Critics loved it, but problems with the band's label meant that fans couldn't find the album in stores. That didn't stop Chilton and the rest of Big Star from partying like the rock stars they thought they were going to be, says biographer Holly George Warren.
Memphis was a crazy party town at that period in the 70s. A lot of other things came into play and would, you know, make people have short tempers, and there was some arguments
and
things, like
that. You mean drugs?
Quaaludes. Quaaludes were very popular in Memphis in those days.
After their first album flopped, Chris Bell quit. Chilton led the rest of the band back into the studio. The album Radio City was another success with critics, but once again, the band failed to find an audience, much to Chilton's dismay.
It was frustrating not to make any money there and, you know, thinking, well, Jesus, here the last 2-3 years, what I've been doing hasn't made a penny.
Chilton recorded a third album with Big Star. It's revered as a classic now, but at the time it was considered so dark and strange that it wasn't even released for years.
Your eyes are almost dead. Can get out of bed and you can sleep.
After Big Star broke up, Chilton reinvented himself again, this time as a punk.
It's a little thing that's gonna please ya. Just a little town down in Indonesia, Bangkok.
From there, Chilton went on to record R&B, country, rockabilly, lounge music, pretty much anything but the power pop anthems he wrote for Big Star. That frustrated his fans, says Holly George Warren.
he was constantly reinventing himself, but it wasn't done consciously, like, oh, well, I'm going to be a new, you know, thing. It was wherever his voracious appetite for new music would lead him.
That appetite led Alex Chilton to New Orleans in 1982. He quit drinking and got a job as a dishwasher, but he kept on playing when it suited him, as he told Fresh Air.
I've sort of got my scene going and have carved out a little niche, however little it is, in the music business, you know, and I managed to play as many gigs as I want every year and make money doing that and make a little money here and there making records, and it's okay with me.
Meanwhile, Chilton's reputation started to grow thanks to younger musicians who had hunted down big stars' records, including members of REM, Wilco, and The Replacements. And Chilton did make some money when the producers of That 70s Show chose one of the band's songs for the opening. Eventually, Chilton agreed to play reunion shows with Big Star and the Box Tops, though he seemed ambivalent about it. Chilton could be rude to fans, and he developed a reputation for sometimes phoning it in on stage. But Holly George Warren says that's not entirely deserved.
He has this reputation of being kind of mercurial and snarky and things like that, but he could be just the friendliest person you ever met. And sure, yeah, I mean, the guy had to make a living, he wanted to make some money, but he would also happily just sit around and play music sometimes just for the sheer love of it.
Any other great ideas?
Alex Chilton was 59 when he died of a heart attack in New Orleans in 2010. Chilton never duplicated the commercial success of that first single, but his music did not fade away. In fact, it's never seemed bigger. Joel Rose, NPR News, New York.